Thank you, God, for your word today. Make it alive to us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about life. We're so concerned about our life and making it in life. What is life? You know, people get discouraged, have a midlife crisis, because they don't feel they did what they were supposed to do, attain what they were supposed to attain, or be what they were supposed to be in life. And people get discouraged. Some people spend their whole life seeking life. Some people spend their whole life going to school to try and find life. What is life? You know, we think of life as out there, living every day, going about our business. But what is life? Life is, the reality of life is what we're going over right here in churches all over the world today. This is real life. Talking about Jesus, heavenly things, spiritual things. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People are looking for that day they can say, this is the life. I can remember many years ago, I don't know if you remember that, one of our granddaughters, a little granddaughter from Colorado, was out visiting. She was very young then. And I forgot where we were at the beach. In our backyard. We had a pool at that time, the house we were living in. She comes out to visit very, very young, 5 or 6 or something. And she just has her bathing suit on, puts on her sunglasses, and stretches out by the pool and says, this is the life. And when you hear it from a 5 or 6 years old, he's like, whoa, you found life already. She just, it was so funny. Stretches out and says, this is the life. Little did she know she'd have to grow up. Isn't that awful? That children have to grow up, that we have to grow up and face this life. But that's what people think life is, and we seek that. But Jesus is going to talk about life today, because we can get so attached to this life. And what we call life here is when it is those times we're just laying back, enjoying it, and vegging out. But it isn't reality, is it? Because you have to get up, and you have to work, and you go through diseases and heartbreaks and sorrow and loss of loved ones, all kinds of things. So it really isn't in this world. Because one day you'll be stretched out saying, this is the life, and the next day you might get a phone call that changes your life entirely. So what is life? Well, as we follow Jesus through the book of Mark, we have seen Jesus minister to those in need. Miracles. Feeding thousands of people through miracles, multiplying food, you know, healing the blind, the deaf, casting out demons. He's demonstrated the power of God in him. He is the Son of God. He's not a miracle worker. He was demonstrating the power of God and who he is, the Christ, the Messiah. And last time, we even saw Peter, one of his disciples, proclaim in verse 29. Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Savior, your real life. See, up to this point, it's been exciting, dynamic, great to follow Jesus. You never knew what he was going to do every day. You didn't worry about food, didn't worry about any illness. Jesus was just healing and working. It was great. Can you imagine waking up excited? Hey, what miracle today? Great time to be following. Don't we love the mountaintop experiences? They're so great, those mountaintop experiences. But what did Jesus come to do? Why did he leave his place in heaven and come to this fallen earth? To seek and to save that which was lost, mankind. He came to save sinners. That's why he really came. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10. 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. How did he show us his love? He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word means the atonement. Not just sacrifice, it means the atonement, the atoning sacrifice. He sent Jesus to totally cleanse us, to be the acceptable atonement for our sin. He took our place, and God the Father says, that's acceptable. He's the only acceptable atonement for our sins, because he wasn't always like us except without sins. He came to die. Isn't it interesting? He said he's the life, but he came to die, which tells us you must die to self in order to live. He came to die so that we could live. That's awesome. I'm living here today, this new life, because of Jesus. I didn't read a bunch of books, go to school, take a lot of counseling, learn how to live. I found Jesus. He found me, and I received him. And then I found life. Isn't that great? A 5-year-old, 105-year-old can do that. Wow. So Jesus, because they've been through all this glorious time, is now going to share with his disciples what lies ahead for him and what he has to do in order to fulfill what he really came to do, to save sinners. It isn't just the miracles and the food and all of that. Verse 31, he began to teach them. So he's now teaching them about his mission, about life. And he's teaching us about life today. And he taught them what? That the Son of Man must do a couple of things here, a few things here. Must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Four things. I'll bet you they were shocked. All the good times. And then he said, hey, fellas, hey, disciples, I'm going to suffer many things. Actually, I'm going to be rejected by the religious leaders of the day. And I'm going to be killed. That sounds like death, not like life. I'm going to be killed. But after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. That's life. When we are told much bad news, someone comes bearing bad news to you, and then maybe a piece of good news, doesn't our mind focus on the bad? Like today, you hear some news, but if somebody tells you some bad news, that's what's on your mind all day. That's what you go to bed with at night. That's what you stay up with praying about. We focus on the bad. The rising from the dead didn't quite take root in their minds. I'm going to suffer, be rejected, and killed. That's what they were consumed with. I mean, if somebody told me that, but then told me they're going to rise again from the dead, I'd say, wow, all right. Or would I? Or would we focus on the bad? Because we don't like bad. We don't like hard times. Anybody here like to suffer? That's an easy one, isn't it? The answer is no. But that's what Jesus came to do. See, to rise from the dead, no matter all the miracles that were performed before, this would seem quite impossible because death is final. There's always hope while you're alive. Something's going to work out. But when you're dead, you're dead. Your life's over here. That would be impossible. But that's what Jesus came to do. Be the conqueror. Many believed at this time that Jesus Christ would set up his kingdom, destroy the Roman rule, and that he would be the one ruling and they with him. They forgot there's two comings of Christ, one to pay for sin, one to rule and reign with us when he comes again. They were thinking he's now going to rule and we're going to rule with him. See, life is more than just living here on earth. I don't know if you found this out, but no matter what you do, how exciting, how good it is, you're still lacking. It isn't quite enough. If I just get that car that I like, I will be totally content. You have it a week, someone keys it on the side, it's all scraped up, you get in an accident, you say, I don't like this car anymore. Or a new model comes out, or a new phone. If I just get this phone, give it to me for Christmas, and I'll be totally content. And then next year, what? I need a new phone, or a new computer. Life here is not fulfilling. Not fulfilling. But isn't it nice and easy to identify with winners, like Jesus was looked to be a winner at the time? Hey, it's great to identify with winners. When you name drop, or you know who I saw, you know who I talked to, we don't talk about some poor, lowly person. We don't name drop those people, do we? Who do we name drop? Some celebrity. You know who I saw today? Marianne. All right, praise the Lord. You see, but thinking, you know, thinking about their Jesus and how the crowds were gathering around him everywhere. He went and what great things he was doing, and he was popular. And now he's talking about suffering, about rejection, about being killed. That would seem to be a loser. Like you didn't win. This past week, I got started about a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, rehearsing the way we came to the Lord and the Jesus movement in the 70s. That was a dear time for us because that's when we came to the Lord in the early 70s in the Jesus movement in Calvary Costa Mesa. We were part of that. We were lost. People sharing, I mean, it was just saturated with the Lord and young people, and people coming out of the hippie movement. And, you know, we're looking at old pictures, people sitting on the floor in church, no shoes on. It was a great time. Just a love for Jesus, your first love. And I was looking at on the internet about a lot of the old bands, and are there any videos? I try to put something together where you'd have videos and some testimony, and there's a couple out there. And I was listening to the Daniel Amos Band. I don't know if any of you remember the Daniel Amos Band. But they had a song, and there's a line in it that says, Jesus died for sinners, for losers and winners. And that's what he did. He came to die for sinners, for losers and winners. Jesus is a winner. And those that believe in him are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Jesus. It all depends on what a person thinks is a loser or a winner in life. There is, you know, this world's kingdom. The prince of this age, this earth, is Satan. And then there's the kingdom of God. The good news is we can be part of that kingdom even while we're still here. When we give our life to Christ, we become a child of God. We're part of his kingdom. And we share that good news. Life here is temporary. Life after death is eternal when we leave this place. So Jesus puts life in perspective today. What is real life? Would you rather live for 100 years in good health with all you wanted? Or trillions upon trillions, innumerable years in glory? That's perspective. What's better? See, so he shares this news, and Peter doesn't like it, verse 32. He spoke this word openly, and then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Do you see what it's saying here? He talks like that, and Peter doesn't like negative words. Don't talk negative, Jesus. So he takes, Jesus, come over here. I got to tell you something. So he takes Jesus on the side. He says, Jesus, don't talk like that. Can you imagine rebuking the Lord? he rebukes Jesus. He probably thought he was going to encourage Jesus. Hey, I'm going to lift this guy up. He's getting kind of negative now. I'm going to set him straight. You know, many times in life, it is necessary for us to go through sorrow and tribulation and trials. It's necessary because it's part of God's plan. And this was part of God's plan. We can't complain. We call it Good Friday because what was bad was actually good. Because Sunday came. And Sunday's coming for us. You see? It's all good. Isaiah 53 speaks of the suffering Messiah laying down his life for us. On him, he bore all our iniquities. Peter must have forgot that. He seemed to know scripture. But can you imagine that scene? He takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. That means he's sharply talking to him. I wonder how he felt after. Wow. But when he had turned around, when Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Peter must have been shocked. I thought I was going to help the Lord. He begins to rebuke Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. Whoa! For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man." Wow, Jesus turns around and really gets on Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind on things of this world, of men, and not setting your mind on the things of God." Now, Jesus wasn't accusing Peter of being Satan or being possessed. What he was saying is, he was telling Peter, your words are from Satan. What you're thinking, what you're saying is from Satan. You are talking like him, and your mind is not on me, but on the things of this world, not on the things of the Spirit. You're the one that shouldn't talk like that. Sometimes we try to counsel God, don't we? I wonder what God thinks. Well, if I were God, I would blah, blah, blah. I know if I were God, this would all be gone by now, the way the world is so evil. God is long suffering, desiring that none perish, because it's bad. He has a plan. So he rebukes Peter. You know, in Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Same thing. Set your mind. You know, his mind was not set. He wasn't mindful of the things of God, but of things of the earth and himself, comfort for himself. But in Colossians 3, 2, it says, set your mind on things above and not on things in the earth. We always have to have our mind set on things above, spiritual things, on God. And if it's set on things above, if my mind and heart are set on things above, my words will be right. My actions will be right. Because I'm pleasing God. You don't want to hurt the one you love. And you don't want to hurt God. This is a good teaching moment for Peter and the disciples. Jesus uses all these things, all these failings they have to teach. And that's why we're here today, to teach, to get equipped, so we do the right thing. The question is, do we serve and follow and live for the world and life here, or for the eternal life with Jesus in heaven and all eternity? We all have to make our choice. Jesus said you can only serve one master. The people that are most miserable are the ones that have a foot in church and a foot in the world. They're very uncomfortable, miserable in life. See, Peter, like many, was concerned about self. I don't want to see my Lord suffering because that means I suffer. I don't want to be rejected because that would mean I'm going to be rejected because I'm going to talk about him. He wanted to escape trials and sorrows and persecution and have it good here. He didn't want to cause any waves. And Jesus was, you know, doing good. It's good and wonderful here when we follow Jesus. We need to know that. Yeah, we go through hard times, But we enjoy the blessings and peace and love and joy of knowing him personally. There's this inner peace that the world can't give you. But there's also sorrow and tribulation and difficulties when we follow Jesus. But what would you rather have? Jesus told us, in this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through it. I stay in him, in his word. What if Jesus listened to Peter and avoided the sorrow in the cross? Guess where we would be today? Not here. Never would have been saved. We wouldn't be saved. Jesus now teaches on the life of a believer, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples, also he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, come after me. Number one, you deny yourself. What does that mean? You set aside the self-life, the selfish ambitions, the selfish goals, and whatever is more important than the Lord. You know, it's more than being unselfish or denying certain things in life. It's more than that. It doesn't mean, well, I'm denying this. Like some, you know, religions, they deny certain things during Lent, and I'm not going to do that. That's not what he's talking about. Deny yourself certain things in life or be unselfish. It's putting Jesus first forever, every day, and following him. It's a one-time deal. I give my life to the Lord. He's not only Savior, he's Lord. I'm denying my life, my personal ambitions and goals, if they're not in alignment with the will of God, and I pray, and I follow him and I'm led by the Spirit. It's not works. It's not a one-time. It's not a daily thing. It's a one-time thing where this is it. I deny myself. Like the Bible says, you crucify the flesh. The flesh is going to be with us till the day we die. So we have to have this daily denial, this total denial that, yeah, when I'm tempted, I walk away. I run. I live for the Lord. It's just my lifestyle, a lifestyle of running from sin and to God, because the temptation is going to be there. But that's why it's our part to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It's not going to be a supernatural thing like I go into a phone booth like Clark Kent and I come out with a Superman outfit on. I can do anything. I'm still in the flesh, but I have to deny these things because I serve the Lord. I deny myself. It's death to the self-life. Oh, I've got a midlife crisis because I thought I wanted to do this in life and I didn't achieve it, or my 20-year plan didn't come to pass, or whatever. There is no 10-year plan, 20-year plan, selfish goals, ambitions. There's just Jesus. And in the process of living for him, he will bring to me what he has for me. And if he wants me to be a doctor, a lawyer, a clerk, a housewife, a homemaker, a student, whatever it is, it'll come to pass, but I'll pursue it while I'm following Jesus and use it as my pathway to share the Lord. I'll live for Christ. I'll be the example in life. You see, denying getting into the world and living like everybody else and accumulating for this life and forgetting the Lord. I will live a life that's a blessing and the best life for me as I follow Jesus. Many people think, well, God wants to cheat me out of life. No. You're his child when you come to the Lord. He wants to take care of you, bless you, provide for you. But many people think, I have to build and make my life. Jesus said just the opposite here. Wait, you see what he says? But we deny self. We first have to put ourself aside. There's some people that won't change their plans or their day runner. They've got it set in stone, and man, you're going to do that no matter what. But if the Lord says to them, well, no, I want you to go over here today or change your plans and come to church or do this or do that or talk to this person or not go there, well, that's not in my plan. I can't do that. See, you're not flexible when you're on the throne and Jesus isn't. How in the world can you hear what the Lord wants you to do if you've got your goals and your plans and you won't change them? There's many times we have plans to do something, but the Lord changes the plans. In the flesh life, I would get all bent out of shape. But now, just be flexible or you're going to break. You see, you flow with what God has for you. A lot of times He changes your plans. So what? God knows. It's so hard to hear what God is saying and knowing the will of God when we're directing our own path. We've got it set in stone. We're to live. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, didn't He? Yeah, but He says, take no thought for tomorrow. I'm talking about next month. No, that's any time in the future. It's an exciting life to live for the Lord. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it that if things change or if He's got something new for you today, it's going to be great because it's going to be from the Lord. So you see, you're going to build your own life or you're going to let the Lord build your life. Deny self, that's putting it aside. Take up your cross, the second thing. A man carrying a cross was a man about to what? Die. A man carrying a cross was about to die. Die to self. Take up your cross. It's a life laid down for Jesus. You die to self. You identify with the cross, with the shame, the persecution, the rejection, and you embrace it, and you don't avoid it like Peter wanted to. You see the cross, carrying this cross, going through life like this, and embrace it and use it for the Lord, whatever you're going through. Don't avoid it. You'll miss out on something great the Lord has for you. Embrace it. Luke 14, verse 27, please. Luke 14, verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. That's a pretty strong word. If you don't do that, you cannot be my disciple because you wouldn't be following Jesus. You'd be following yourself and your own life, what you want to do. I mean, a lot of times we'll ask people, hey, do you want to do this or go over here and do this or certain things? Well, I can't because we're doing this. And you know, are certain people that are in need or in need of counseling or help or prayer. Hey, you want to pray and do this or go there? Well, I can't because I'm going to do this. And I'm thinking, you're running your own life. You need help. You'd be better off in prayer, doing something constructive in life. But it's, when you're running your own life, you're not open to that. You're going to resolve things yourself, and it's not going to work. So you identify with it. You don't do your own thing. Romans 13, verse 14. Romans 13, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. No provision. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer us that lives when we're a new person in Christ. Christ lives in us. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. And the third thing he said is, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Peter, follow me. That's all I want you to do. No matter where the road takes you, through joy and blessings or sorrow and tribulation, follow me. Just follow me. In other words, it means I follow Jesus. I live as he lived. I love as he loved. I just follow Jesus. I don't follow a man or a movement or a religion or an organization. I just follow Jesus. And I won't go wrong. I won't go wrong. Just follow Jesus. But you see, Satan doesn't want you and me to follow Jesus. He doesn't want us to deny self or pick up cross. He wants us to run our own life. He wants people to indulge in the life of the flesh, to avoid persecution, to be comfortable. He wants us worldly and selfish. That's the way he wants us. You know, you can tell where a person's at. They'll just say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. By the first two words, you can tell who's running the person's life. The words, I don't. You see the clue? You're on the throne. I don't want to do that. That's it. Not even praying about it if the Lord would want you to do it. I don't. Oh, okay. Verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So here's where our message is about life. Lose your life and you will save it. If you desire to save your life, you're going to lose it. And most people out there are trying to save their life, find life, attain life. They want life. So they pursue it, and they don't care who they step over or if they have to lie or cheat or whatever it takes or take drugs to have the strength to do it or forget things that are going on. Whatever it takes, they're going to pursue their life. Well, you're going to die. You're going to die. Life is not going to fill you up and make you content. You're going to want more and more and more. If you desire to save your life, you're going to lose it. See, real life is in Jesus. It's glorious living for the Lord. Before we were Christians, my first thought was, as people were sharing with us, well, if we give our life to Jesus, what are we going to do on Friday and Saturday night? How shallow. What are you going to do on the weekends? We found out we were in church. It's so wonderful, and life is so beautiful when you follow the Lord. So peaceful. And it's just real life. The other is not real life when you're running your own life. If you're going to make it, you're going to save it. Forever loses his life. For my sake and the gospels, you just give it up over to me for my sake and the gospels, you're going to save it. You know, people want to make it here in the world and avoid the cross. Be their own man, be their own woman, do what feels good, indulge in all that you desire. I want to build my own life. They're actually going to lose it. They lose out in life because God has so much of a better plan for our life than we do. His plan is great, but most people, because the road is narrow, most people are not going to find out why they were here because they don't go to God. So you're going to miss out on this great life that God had for you because you wanted to run it. Isn't that awful? You're going to lose it because God has the plans. We don't. He's the architect, the builder, the maker. So if you don't let him run it and build your life, you're losing out. Oh, I lost out on so much. I felt I missed out so much in life. Well, did you let the Lord run your life? Did you just have faith and trust him? Let him put it together? They actually lose it. God has so much more for us, a wonderful life, and then heaven. Verse 35, forever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake and the gospel is going to find it. You're going to find real meaning and real life. Real life is in Jesus. You know, we've been studying Wednesday about the martyrs in Revelation. They were faithful to the end, even to death. They died for their faith. Millions. But you know what? They're in the presence of the Lord right now. Wow. They're better off than anybody here. Because they died for the Lord. I'm sure it wasn't comfortable being burnt at the stake or being fed to the lions, boiled in oil. I'm sure that wasn't very comfortable at all. The world would call them losers. God says, you're a winner. You did it for me. That's life in perspective. Verse 36, for what would it profit a man? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What would it profit if a person could fulfill all of their heart's desire on this earth, attain all they wish to attain on this earth, be living in comfort and peace and have all the benefits of life, but in the process never give their life to Jesus? What would it profit them? They would lose their own soul. They would lose their own soul, lost forever. They would lose their own soul. If they could speak now, those that have died, building their own life, those that had it great here on earth, if they could speak now, those that have died without Christ and were very well off here, what do you think they would say? Would they say, they're losers, that we're losers, or they're losers? They're losers. If they could speak, they would tell us right now, give your life to Jesus. Because it's all true. And it's horrible here. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my goods, my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Hey, you're set for years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. The good life. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hey, who's going to get all that stuff you stored up? You fool. You could die tonight. And all of that for nothing. That's life in perspective. We never know when we're going to die. We don't know that we have tomorrow. That's not a doom and gloom message. That's a great message. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. But those that don't know the Lord and start up here and have all these great plans to build their life, like he said, it's never going to come to pass. I'm going to require your life, your soul tonight. And then he says in verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What it really means is you can't buy your soul back. You can't go to some store and exchange your soul for what you have. Well, I'll pay you this much or give you all I have. You can't exchange it. Once you die, that's it. You can't reclaim your life. You can't buy back your soul. It's hopeless. You can't exchange it for something. There's no trading after death. It's right now, while you're alive, that determines where you go. And then you can't exchange your own soul. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Many stay away from the Lord because they are ashamed of Jesus. You know, those are strong words. If one is ashamed of me, he says, in my words, was Peter? Probably at the time. Do you think he turned around? Yes, he did. We know that. But he says, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. That's horrible. If one is ashamed of me in this sinful generation, when the Messiah comes again, you're going to be judged guilty. We should never be ashamed of our faith or of the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That's the way it is. How can we confess or deny him? By our words? By our actions? Or not speaking up when we have a chance? Going along with the crowd because I'm ashamed. Say I'm a Christian. Go along with the crowd. Listen to the dirty jokes. Take part in certain things that aren't right. You're ashamed to say no, to speak up. I can deny him in many ways throughout the day. Or I can proclaim him and say, no, I don't do that. I don't take part in that anymore. I don't like what I'm hearing. We can deny or confess him. It's up to us. Thank you, Lord, for talking to us about life. We pray that your words are planted in our heart, and we're encouraged to stand for you today. Father, please help us. Keep us from sin and temptation. Keep the attack of the enemy away. And help us to set our mind on things above and not on things of this earth. We are so rich, we're so blessed, and we have a glorious eternity to face. What more could we ask for? We have you as a Father in heaven, and we have Jesus our Savior and the Holy Spirit our guide. Please take care of us. Give us a wonderful day today as we live by these words we've studied. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen.